A reading from the Gospel of John. Chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, here we are, and it's December already, do you know? I remember when December would be like 2 years away when you were a child, but it feels like 2 months now as you're getting older. It only feels like about 2 months ago since it was last December. And what a year. What a year we've had. What a year of, disruptions, of cost of living crisis, of energy crisis, of war. In my own personal life, it's been a year of change where I found out that I found my birth mother, I found out my name, I finally got my birth certificate, I found out I was never meant to be adopted. And so the year's kind of been a topsy-turvy kind of year. But here we are. And as the old song goes, so here it is, Merry Christmas. And, you know, I just love this time of year. I love the season of Advent, that build-up, that anticipation. You know, I love the atmosphere. People seem to be getting better spirits. You know, there's a lot of joy around. There's a lot of hope around. And I just want to kind of speak a bit about this in a roundabout way to you, the listeners, sitting at home. So make yourself comfortable. I hope you've got your tea made or your glass of mulled wine or whatever you're having. Just sit back and just bear with me and let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll turn the hearts toward you as Christmas approaches. Let us not get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the season this year and miss the chance to celebrate the gifts of hope, peace, joy, love that you sent to us on that first Christmas. That first Christmas, you gave us the gift of hope wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid it in a manger. And we just thank you, Father, for your immeasurable gift. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, I am going to throw in a couple of Bible verses, obviously, because that's what I do. So just keep an ear out for them as we go along. So let me ask you, when you wake up on Christmas morning, what's the first thing you will look for? Will it be the excitement of getting ready to go to church so we can hear the Word of God spoken as if it was the greatest gift we could ever receive? Will your first thought on Christmas morning be about Jesus, the Word of God who came into the world to shine a warm light into the overwhelming darkness of human sinfulness? Or, well, like most of us, your first thought on Christmas morning about which presents are underneath the tree? Is that big one for me? How soon will we get the turkey in the oven? Do you think the kids are happy with the gifts that Santa Claus brought? But here it is. It is Merry Christmas. Everybody's having fun. Look to the future now. It's only begun. You know, everyone, no matter if you're young or old, have at some point in their lives have heard those lyrics sung by the glam rock band Slade. They say that every year they make $1 million in royalties just from that song being played on the radios all over the world. Here it is, Merry Christmas. Everybody's having fun. Look to the future now. It's only just begun. Now, if I could sing it, I would sing it for you, but I'm not going to punish you with it. This record reached number one in the pop charts in December 1973 and stayed there until the middle of February of 1974, and is still one of the most played secular Christmas songs of all time. And in its own way, it captures the excitement that surrounds the festive season. And yet, as popular as the song is, nowhere in the lyrics does it mention the reason for the season. Nowhere does it mention the reason for the festivities. And sometimes I quiet myself, I can hear the angels singing a version of that song on that day over 2,000 years ago. So here he is, Merry Christmas, to Bethlehem just run. Mankind has a future now, and today it's just begun. The words would have spoken of a bright new hope. Here he is, Merry Christmas. Not simply wishing a Merry Christmas, but a proclamation of the moment of moments. The time when time itself met eternity, when history paused for a breath, and the fallen would turn to begin its slow climb back to salvation. The fifth candle on the Advent wreath in most churches get lit on this day. It is a central candle in the wreath, just as the figurine of the Christ child is a central to our crib scene, just as the baby in the manger is central to Christmas. The life of any newborn baby is frighteningly fragile. And that is something I've come to understand this year personally through my own story, through my own journey in life from learning that as an adoptee, I was never meant to be adopted. I was taken without permission and given. And the newborn baby is a frighteningly fragile person. But here we see the baby Jesus lies in his manger at the centre of our crib scene. He's dwarfed by the adults around him. He is utterly dependent on them, but his powerlessness has the power to unlock and elicit love from even the hardest of hearts. Christ's gift to us at Christmas is one of love, a love that goes beyond our normal love-giving. And as a secular song and another secular song says, love changes everything. You see, God's love for us goes deeper. The helpless child at this early stage does not so much offer, let alone understand its own love, yet it brings forth ours. God not only gives us his own love, he gives us our ability to love, love itself, so that we can become as he is. The crib is reputed to have been invented by St. Francis of Assisi in 1229. His was not the small scene that we fit in the corner of a table in our rooms, but in fact was a life-size reconstruction in which he used a live ox and ass. There was no councils or Dublin mayors giving out about it at the time. It just went ahead. St. Francis built the first crib at Greccio. Mass was said over the manger, and in the paintings which came afterwards, the manger can often take on the form of an altar. You see, a close connection is made between Christ's self-offering in birth and his self-offering on the cross. A gift of love which spends itself for the beloved. In Love's Endeavour, Love's Expense, W.H. Vanstone wrote, drained is love in making full, bound in setting others free, poor in making many rich, weak in giving power to be. The hardest hearts can be unlocked before such love, but sadly that's not always the case. We are living in a very dark world, where God and the good are rejected and the true message of Christmas has been lost. Many see this time of year as an excuse to indulge in the excesses of greed. Many see this time of year as an excuse for exploiting others with overinflated prices to enlarge their own bank balances. Those that are exploited see this time of year only for debts they incur and will have to pay off over the coming year. Many view the preparations, the shopping and the long queues in the weeks and days leading up to Christmas as a lot of hard work for one day. What I hate about Christmas is the commercialisation of it all. I hate the fact in general Christ has or is being removed from Christmas. You see, in today's Western culture, Christmas means holly and mistletoe, parties, gifts, carols, big meals, a decorated tree, last minute shopping, and now we have that ridiculous tradition of the 12 pubs of Christmas. Well, I would say that most of these things are not objectionable in themselves. None of them, with the exception of giving gifts, has anything to do with the circumstances surrounding the birth of Christ. The principle of celebrating the coming of Christ to the world is certainly a good idea. And yet some Christians frown on Christmas for various reasons, and some even oppose it altogether. Yes, it's easy to criticise the commercialisation of Christmas and bemoan the Christmas parties that cater more to drunkenness than to anything related to the birth of Jesus. But as bad as those things are, we who are Christians ought to enjoy the season of the year. It would be a double shame if we allowed the world to take this holiday, a word that really means holy day, away from us. So, should we celebrate Christian as Christians? By all means. But how should we celebrate this great day? And the first and most obvious answer is this. You should celebrate Christmas by becoming a Christian. After all, this is why Jesus came to earth. He was born to be a saviour. And often you can call him my saviour, you will never fully understand what Christmas is all about. And many of our great carols speak to this point. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. Called you one and called you all to gain his everlasting hall. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. You see, if you'd like to become a Christian, you must give assent and you must realise that you are a sinner. As a sinner, you need a saviour. Christ is the saviour you need. So the question I ask you this Christmas, are you willing to trust Jesus with all your heart as your Saviour and Lord? It is truly as simple as reaching out in faith and believing what God has said about his Son. Those who trust in Christ are saved forever. And this is where Christmas should begin for us all. And Christmas, the season of Christmas, eventually ends for us all. Soon enough, we'll take down the tree, pack away the ornaments, and either use our gifts to take them back to the store to be exchanged. In a few days, the children will go back to school after Christmas, and life will return to normal. And we'll all sit there in our sitting room thinking, it looks empty. And a few weeks later, you know, we'll have forgotten about it. But will we be changed by Christmas? Or will it be back to business as usual in 2023? If we look at Luke chapter 2, and we'll read about the shepherds, verse 17 to 20. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, for they had heard and seen as had been told them. Will we be changed by Christmas this year? The shepherds returned to the work. It was the same work, but they were different. They went back with a new zeal, a new passion, a new joy, and a new love for God in their hearts. Will that transformation happen in our lives this Christmas? People sometimes wish they could keep Christmas all year long. They speak of it as if the magic of these days comes only once a year. But it depends on what magic you're talking about. If you mean the tree and gifts and the mistletoe and the chestnuts roasting by the fire, that indeed comes only once a year. But the greater truth of Christmas is meant to warm our hearts all year long. Would you like Christmas to last all year long? It can if you will do what the shepherds did. Go back to where you came from, back to your office, back to your classroom, back to your factories, back to your neighbourhood, back to your job, back to your family duties. Go back to the humdrum of daily routine. And as you go back, glorify God and praise Him. That is what the shepherds did. Christmas didn't change their circumstances, but it changed them deeply and profoundly. And because it changed them, it changed the way they approached their daily work. Yes, they still had to deal with cranky sheep and sometimes they had to step in sheep manure, but that hardly mattered now. They had seen the Christ child. I pray that you see Jesus this year at Christmas time. If you have, then go back to what you were doing before and take the memory of Christmas with you. Glorify God and praise Him as you go about your routine, and you will find your days filled with joy. So, what should we do? Once Christmas comes, it is our duty as Christians to proclaim the good news that Christ has come. We are to sit and wonder at God's amazing plan. We are to look around at His wonderful creation, pondering the works of God, and we are to glorify God in our daily lives. So I encourage you this Christmas to start where you are and God will be with you. Do these things and you'll have a Christmas all year long. You see, I actually love Christmas. I love that part that celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And when we look around at this time of year, let's extend the mercy that God has given to others, given to you, to others. You see, Jesus has been a massive force for good for the last over 2,000 years. And He wants to do good in your life this Christmas. And as you give your gifts, remember the one who gave the greatest gift, Himself. It came at great cost to Him, the cost of His life. But He offers it freely as a gift that you must simply unwrap. Put Jesus central to your celebrations at Christmas. I really encourage you, as I am sure He is for all of you. But more importantly, we need to take Jesus out into the streets to let the light of the world shine in the dark corners of our town. A sticker regularly seen in car windows says that a dog is not for life, just for Christmas. I believe a better one should read, Jesus is for life, not just for Christmas. May you enjoy your celebrations this season, and may Christ, the giver of life, be central to your lives, not just for your today, but for your life. So let's finish with a prayer. And I want to finish with a prayer that's written by Pope John the 23rd. O sweet child of Bethlehem, grant that we may share with all our hearts in this profound mystery of Christmas. Put into the hearts of men and women this peace for which they sometimes seek so desperately, and which you alone can give to them. Help them to know one another better and to live as brothers and sisters, children of the same Father. Reveal to them also your beauty, holiness and purity. Awaken in their hearts love and gratitude for your infinite goodness. Join them all together in your love and give us your heavenly peace. Amen. May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels and the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi and the peace of the Christ child. Almighty God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forevermore. Amen. This is Ross signing off from Breaking Bread, based on 42 South Main Street, y'all. If you know anybody who's struggling, who needs a meal over Christmas, just give us a call, call in, and let us know. God bless you, have a blessed season, and we'll see you in January. Oh, you are my joy, joy,
sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Oh, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations through. Oh, the glories of his righteousness, and the wonders of his love. Oh, the wonders of his love. Oh, the wonders, the wonders of his love. Woo! Joy, joy, joy. You are my joy, joy, joy. You are my joy. You are my joy, yes you are, you are my joy, yeah. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him a room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Come on!